Blog Talk Radio.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the J.K. Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jay King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me are my co-hosts, Johnny, Graham, Cracker, Davis.
What's up? Hey, we had a little bit of snow last night, y'all. It ain't over with. And it took me 4,000 licks to get to the center of the lollipop and then some. And I'm not saying Happy New Year.
You and Donald Fouquet, Johnny Fouquet, Mr. D.O.W.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another wonderful Wednesday. You know this, and I'm wishing you a progressive and productive day.
Back to this again, huh?
Mr. Robot.
San Diego Semi.
You know, I used to prepare for, you know, something in the morning, but I think now that I've been just reduced to a...
At least it sounds good. The Tenacious Lady T.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, gentlemen. I like the licks on the lollipop, though.
In other words, she says she wants her lollipop licked. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the microphone is an icon.
Oh, yeah.
A legend.
From the Five Heartbeats.
And a radio show host who needs a freak. Doon't, doon, doon't, doon't, doon, doon't. He's a pimp, player, and hustler when it comes to getting his dinero.
Hey, I'm not drunk, Five Heartbeat, okay? I'm not that one. Any of the other, and I'm not the conceited heartbeat either. The one that, you know, jacked them niggas around and got his own separate deal. That ain't my style.
He's the Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, and he's the Daddy Mac of all Daddy Macs.
The Mickey Mickey Mac, baby. Jump, jump, Mickey Mickey Mickey, jump, and all that other shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about none other than our general manager.
Hey, check this out, Simi. Nobody told you not to come up with anything creative. You just got 10 seconds. You self-check. You self-check like this. Like, where's the other team? Where's the other team? I'm going to that nigga self-check.
Our program director.
Since I've been reduced to a fucking crow, ha-ha! Ha-ha!
Our chief in there.
Yeah, T. Spence, I know what you went to. I know
our head honcho.
Yep. See how that led right into that? We're going to call her T. Honcho from now on.
Our big Willie.
You so silly.
Our Sambo.
Oh, do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for our do that. Sambo, Mr. Lynn Oliver Jr.
Pull the board.
Question I want to ask before we get into the show. You know, and I know every one of you have heard this, every one of you. Just recently, some guy, I think it was a police officer, tripped a girl going onto a football field or whatever the field was in celebration of her team's victory. He tripped her. The department said, that's not our standard procedure in trying to maintain the crowd. So he was put on administrative paid leave. How is that a punishment? How the hell is that a punishment? Wouldn't everybody, hey, when can I get some of that administrative paid leave?
I'm going to tell you why, Lynn. I'm going to tell you why that's a punishment.
Okay.
Those guys that are police, they take real joy in tripping and hurting innocent people. And when you don't allow them to do that, they hurt themselves in retaliation. And so, you know, he may beat up on his wife or something like that, which makes it, you know, and because of the punishment they're exacting on him by paying him and not allowing him to take out his frustrations and his ugliness on innocent people. Because that's what the police like to do. Now, do you understand the punishment?
I understand the principle, but, you know, what, like this. We're going to put you on administrative half-pay leave, nigga. Okay, so like this. You tripping motherfuckers and shit out there on the field, and you beating people. We caught you. We seen you. But we don't know for sure if you done it, so we're going to give you a vacation with half pay.
But, Lynn, see, they would rather take no pay and continue to tripping and the beating down of innocent people
that's just
than
the devil
to get paid.
That's the devil in a blue suit.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, we already know what the police, you know, police and brutality go together.
The Pope.
We already know the Pope police and gang go together.
The
They're
Pope.
A police gang. They're a police system of brutality. And, you know, and the system is allowing for this to take place because nobody's saying or doing anything about it. Then it seems like people, even people with authority, they're allowing this authority to, you know, to mistreat and the community. And now, you know, I'm gonna tell you something. When and I said this before, when the police start beating up on white people,
yeah,
black people don't stand a chance.
Yeah,
you know, it's gonna be some black ass beat on. So, you know, so that's, you know, whether we like it or not, that's the way the Tootsie rolls. And unfortunately, you know, I don't know if you guys saw Nightline last night, but it's a guy on Nightline who sells gun parts, Lynn.
Okay.
And he said that his job is to, give the community weapons so they can protect themselves, to empower the people. And what he sells, the gun parts, so he's not a gun dealer, so he can't sell guns, but he can sell you parts that make up a gun. And he can sell you that's just one little part, this trigger thing that makes up the gun. All the other parts to a gun is nothing. It's just one mechanism that makes up the gun. And he can sell you that mechanism partially done. So it would take 45 minutes to make it, you know, interactable with all the other parts. And it's just drilling some holes. They go so far as to show you where the holes need to be drilled and everything. They give, you know, and but he was raided because he had some plastic ones, and they said that was too close to the actual part, gun part that makes it the gun, and they confiscated 6,000 of them from him. But he's on television saying this. He said, "I got 100,000 of them out there already." So 100,000 at $95 a pop.
Wow.
That's $9.5 million. So he's made money already.
Man.
And, you know, that's what we have to, you know, I these guys, I'm telling you something, these white dudes are getting ready for some type of civil war, you know, or uprising. You know, and this isn't just happening in this country. It's happening around the world. It's happening around the world. We're in some really serious times here.
Like Armageddon or something, huh?
You know, I don't know if it's Armageddon, but you know, but it feels like it. Wait till I start reading some of these stories.
Jay King's News Reel.
Pastor Gregory Hawkins sued for $1 million by mother of 15-year-old girl he impregnated. Social worker also sued. Pastor Gregory Hawkins, who was arrested for getting a 15-year-old member of his church pregnant, has been sued by the mother of the victim for over $1 million in damages. The social worker in charge of the case is also being sued by the mother for placing the 15-year-old victim with foster parents who were members of Pastor Hawkins' church. Those same foster parents allowed the pastor to have continued visitation with the 15-year-old, despite a court order stating that the Pastor Hawkins should have no contact with the victim. But wait, there's more. DNA results confirmed for the court that Pastor Hawkins is the father of the victim's baby. The mother of a Tulsa teenager, who court filings say was impregnated by a minister, has sued the minister, his church, the Department of Human Services, and several DHS employees for damages exceeding $1 million. Gregory Ivan Hawkins, 55, a former pastor of Zion Fellowship Ministries, was arrested on June 24th on allegations that he had reoccurring sexual contact with a female relative since April of 2012, when the girl was 14. The girl became pregnant and gave birth to a child that blood tests showed was fathered by Hawkins. He faces 5 counts of lewd molestation and 4 counts of second-degree rape in Osage County, where he lives. Investigators said previously that each criminal act was committed against the same victim at various Tulsa locations in both counties. The girl was removed from the foster home 11 days after the school's report, according to the document. DHS spokesman Sherry Powell said the agency disagrees with the allegations being made in this suit and will vigorously defend the agency and its employees' name. The petition seeks compensatory damages in excess of $1 million. Hawkins is in jail in Tulsa. He is scheduled for arraignment May 2nd. In Osage County, and June 16th in Tulsa County. For those of you who may be unfamiliar with Pastor Gregory Hawkins, please be advised that he was arrested a total of 3 times for failing to stay away from the 15-year-old victim in this case.
That's kind of crazy.
Preacher. The preacher.
Men do men things because he's a preacher and he's not committed.
Well, I'm saying, you know, the doctrine.
Anything can be expected. What's that? What you eating?
Some soup, man. I'm trying to get better. You know, yesterday I think I went a little too hard.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get up after the show and go walking.
Yeah.
And I was feeling good. And then I got dizzy. As a dumb blonde.
Like Dizzy Gillespie? You got Dizzy Gillespie?
I got Dizzy Gillespie.
Jay. You really do need to slow down.
I just said
before. You try to go too fast all the time, man. You need to rest.
I did. That's what I did yesterday, Simi. I just said that I rested. I don't know if you heard me.
You push it too hard.
Well, I didn't hear.
I can't giggle.
The push it too hard, Jay. You
I'm
push it too hard.
Getting back feed, man.
You're getting feedback.
Is it me? Is it me, Jay?
No, it's not you. It's just he got them. His headset ain't working right.
Well, it's not that it does not work right. It's just that when I get too close to the other electronic device, I get feedback, so it makes it kind of difficult.
Well, here's the answer. Don't go next to it.
But
that's what happens. That's what happens when I'm on a cordless. When I'm on a cordless or on like I'm on my mini pad now with my headset. When the microwave goes on, I hear some buzz. You know.
Ooh, that means you're too close.
Exactly. Like next.
All right.
I wonder if T. Spence has a headset.
No. I tried that and it didn't work.
Lynn just nasty.
I got blasted for that.
I am.
Lynn is just nasty.
I am one of the nastiest people to do it.
You slipped that one in. That was nice.
Yeah, I didn't slip it in though, because if I'd have slipped it in, you'd have slapped the shit out of me. So.
Hey.
If it seems like I'm kind of a loose man, I'm getting really a lot of back feed right now, guys.
Mm, feedback. Mm. You're getting a lot of feedback.
Back feed.
I'm
not
back
feed.
Feedback.
Back feed.
You're getting a lot of feedback.
Jay King's News Reel.
This dude got a lot of feedback, too. Passengers fight back. One aggressive man takes on a bus. It doesn't take long before the passengers get fed up and step in when he takes things too far. So, Lynn, this is a guy who's on a bus. He's a black guy. This elderly woman, he's cussing her out, calling her bees and holes. She has an elderly gentleman sitting next to her. He starts coming towards her like he's going to do something. The elderly guy steps up, and when he steps up, the guy pushes him, and all hell breaks loose. And you guys are about to hear it right now.
Some kind of commotion. I heard somebody laughing like, that's what you get, motherfucker. I heard,
Yeah.
But you noticed first, did you guys heard when he was calling her bees and...
Yeah.
Right.
Why was he...
And then all of a sudden you heard he just did it. He was just on the bus. She was just an older woman. She's an older lady. I mean, when I say older, I mean she's probably in her 60s, 70s to 80s, she's mid-70s at least.
Wow.
The older guy had a cane. But they start whooping him so bad that the old dude got a little bit of the whooping too, trying to get out the way. Why is Robert Redwine calling me on my cell phone?
Because he wants to talk to you. You worry me to death. You talk.
Why would you call me on my cell phone?
You talk too much.
You know that she's been dealing with. She had a series of more tests. I didn't get a chance to tell you. Yeah, my bad.
But why would you call me on my cell phone during the show?
Why did you just text me?
I didn't want to call on the radio and talk about this stuff.
So you'd rather call me during the middle of my show and talk to me while I'm in the middle of the show versus sending me a text?
Oh, I should have texted you. You're correct. But I just want you to, pray for my mom that she has to come back.
I always pray for your mom, Rob. I prayed for your mom when she had you.
Uh-oh.
All right, Robert.
All right, sweetie.
Your mom, we're praying for.
All right, sweetie. All right. Hey, KJ, let me call you. I'm going to call you on your phone, all right, because I'm going to say something to you. You know, this is what I can't understand. Anybody that's been around Jay for 5 days, and, you know, like whether you see him in person or not, you know Jay is going to use shit that he knows about you to your disadvantage. You know that if he's on the show, he's going to answer the phone call and then say, I wonder why Scott's calling me on my show. What the fuck is wrong with it? Okay, so now Robert should know more than any one of us, even me. You know, but, like, I'm alert and I'm very, observant. So, like, I could, like, pick a person apart. Like, okay, okay, I know what Simi's into. Yeah, I know what T. Spence is into. Oh, yeah. You know, and I know it's Johnny. Okay, so then, like, Robert should know that if he calls, why did you just text? And that's what I can't understand about Robert. You know, I used to defend Robert. Hey, no, Jay, no. You know, no, don't do it. He's, you know, okay. But then, Robert's out on, he's on the gangplank now with the sword in his ass. Push it, Jay. Take that sword, stick him, push him until he goes, falls off into the brink. Yeah, bye-bye.
I'm going to tell you what you used to do, Lynn. You would say, Robert is on this show as long as he want to be. If I said, Robert need to be off this show, you would say, no, Robert's on this show for as long as he want to be. This is Robert's show, too.
And it was that one fateful day
for me.
And you were geeked. You were dancing like Rumpelstiltskin. Like this. She'll never guess my name. Rumpelstiltskin. Okay, for those of you who don't know Rumpelstiltskin, Google it. Okay, so then now, when that happened, Jay says, oh, shit. The corral gate is open now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, buddy. Okay.
Now, look, hey, today when I did our, I send out, you know, alerts about our show, right?
Yeah.
And so today I put, I had a little thing that said, I have taken myself hostage. If you ever want to see me again, send me $1,000 for ransom.
Okay.
Right? So William Durrell wrote, if we don't, will the captor kill the hostage or just send pieces back?
William
Durrell.
That's
funny.
William Durrell.
Yeah, that was funny. That was a kiki ha-ha moment right there.
William Durrell.
Where did I want to go? I wanted to go someplace else. Oh, yeah, I wanted to go right here.
Jay King's News Reel.
Drug ring targeting top suburban Philly schools busted. Two young men, a bunch of subordinates, one master plan. Take over the drug trade at some of Pennsylvania's best schools. Authorities announced Tuesday that they were able to foil this ambitious effort, unearthing marijuana, hash oil, cocaine, ecstasy, as well as cash and several weapons, and arrest the pair allegedly at the center of it, among others. They were in business to make money, and they were going to do whatever they needed to do to make sure that no one threatened their business, Montgomery County District Attorney Risa Vetri Furman said. She was speaking primarily of the main suspects, 25-year-old Neil Scott and 18-year-old Timothy Brooks, behind what they allegedly called the Mainline Takeover Project. The Mainline referring to a group of affluent towns and cities outside Philadelphia. Officials claim Scott helmed the operation, including shipping large amounts of marijuana from California to Pennsylvania, while Brooks supervised sub-dealers at area high schools. And these weren't just any schools. They included the prestigious Haverford School, from which both Scott and Brooks graduated. They had ties to its lacrosse program. The public schools of Conestoga, Radnor, Heriton, and Lower Merion, each of which have some of the highest SAT scores in Pennsylvania, were also part of the ring, according to the district attorney's office. So, too, were nearby Gettysburg, Haverford, and Lafayette colleges. In brief comments on Tuesday, Scott's lawyer, Tom Egan, said of his client's main concern is how the mandatory minimums are going to operate if he's indeed guilty of the offenses. Greg Pagano, Brooks' attorney, spoke more extensively regarding his client, who went to the University of Richmond in 2013 on a lacrosse scholarship, then left after one semester. He said Brooks had gotten injured, after which he was at home, idle, and suffering from some depression when he got involved with Scott at a very susceptible low point in his life. He's willing to accept responsibility for what he did, Pagano said of Brooks, whom he said was involved in this conspiracy for a very, very short period of time. In a news conference and release, authorities said laid out what they described as an elaborate operation to build up business. This effort included things like offering incentives to sub-dealers, such as lower drug prices, and being able to buy them on credit. Including Scott and Brooks, 8 people have been arrested in the case, an arrest warrant out for another one, and there are petitions for 2 juveniles. All but 2 of those arrested attended local schools such as Lafayette College, Haverford School, and local public schools. They face a host of drug, criminal conspiracy, and other charges. Reflecting on the areas where this alleged drug scheme operated, Seth Williams, the district attorney for Philadelphia, which is near the school in question, said in a press release, the days of it can't happen here are long gone. The arrests follow an investigation that began in January. Authorities say seized text messages show the suspect's plans to expand the business, with Scott giving Brooks business advice on how to expand marijuana sales in local high schools, and Brooks encouraging sub-dealers to efficiently distribute drugs at their schools. Authorities assert the discovery of a loaded .223 caliber AR-15 rifle, assault rifle, in addition to a semi-automatic pistol and another rifle, suggests the drug ring's leaders had the capability to use force. Furman admitted she's bothered by the fact that Scott, who left Connecticut College after 3 semesters of study after being sanctioned for using marijuana and creating fake IDs, and Brooks both attended Haverford, then allegedly did what they did. You're dealing with kids from one of the finest institutions probably in the country. To take those skills and turn it into this kind of illegal enterprise is very distressing. Now, I just want you guys to know, if this was black kids, you see how nice that sound, Lynn?
Sounded like a storybook tale.
Yeah,
like a little, just, real nice.
Yeah. If this was black kids, it's two old graduates from a high school, are back, this time enticing younger kids into being drug addicts. These kids come from broken homes. Who their mothers and father, they'll go back into the background. Their father just arrested the other day for driving without a license. The mother and father are now being investigated because there may be some ties. Also, the grandmother, who's from Colombia, may have linked to the cartel. These are drug dealers. I bet you they get... And they already are making excuses for him. One of the kids, he got hurt at the lacrosse player. He's depressed because he's sitting at home.
Wow.
Why is he sitting at home? He's a lacrosse player. You're sitting at home because you can't play lacrosse. You should be still in. Why isn't he taking classes? He's out, you know, indoctrinating younger kids and bringing them into the drug trade. Armageddon might be around the corner, Lynn.
Damn.
You should see that, and you should see them too. They just, and when they took them in jail, they, you know, this one kid, he's dressed in a prep outfit. Then the one crazy dude, he's a crazy looking. Christian E. Euler, 23, a graduate of Haverford School, is one of 8 people accused of being sub-dealers in the alleged operation. Daniel R. McGrath, 18, a Haverford graduate, is one of 8 people accused of being. And some of these kids are just kids. Oh, he's 29. And they ain't no kid. Here's another 18-year-old, 20-year-old, 18-year-old. Oh, Willow, she's 22.
Wow. Willow, weep for me.
Now watch this, Lynn.
Jay King's News Reel.
The misdemeanor assault trial for R&B singer Chris Brown has been continued again. Brown, 24, is charged with striking a fan at the W Hotel on October 27th after the singer rebuffed his request for a photo. After being postponed twice, the trial has been rescheduled to start Wednesday in courtroom 202 of the D.C. Superior Court. Brown's bodyguard, Christopher Hollacy, 35, who was also charged with the misdemeanor assault, was found guilty Monday by a Superior Court judge following a 2-day trial. Hollacy is scheduled to be sentenced in June and faces a maximum of 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. Brown is being tried separately. His trial was initially scheduled to start Friday. It was then rescheduled for Monday. Hollacy was originally scheduled to testify on behalf of Brown, but after he was found guilty, he decided he would not testify unless the prosecutors offered him immunity. Hollacy's attorney said their client would not testify because it could jeopardize his appeal if he took the stand and said anything that incriminated himself. Observers say it was likely that Hollacy had planned to testify that he, and only he, struck the victim, Parker Adams, 20, of Beltsville. At one of the earlier hearings in the case, a D.C. police detective said that on the night of the altercation, Hollacy told police he was the only one who struck Adams, not Brown. Brown's attorneys have said that he is innocent and that he and Hollacy were trying to protect Brown and his property. Also on Wednesday, Brown could finally be released from the custody of U.S. Marshals last month. From the custody of U.S. Marshals. Last month, a California judge ordered Brown locked up for allegedly making threats about using guns while in an anger management rehabilitation center. He had been ordered to the inpatient facility as part of a plea deal in connection with his 2009 conviction for assaulting his then-girlfriend, pop star Rihanna. As part of that California judge's order, Brown was scheduled to be released from jail on Wednesday, April 23rd. Brown's attorneys were hoping Brown could be ordered released from jail from Washington as opposed to returning to California for the judge to hold a release hearing. For now, Brown remains in the custody of the U.S. Marshals Service and was transported via prison bus from a Virginia jail to a courthouse Monday morning. I just want you guys to think about this. Here we got some kids that are selling drugs, Lynn.
Yeah.
Not just selling drugs. They're building a drug ring. They're building a business with infrastructure.
Yeah.
They're probably out on bail. And here you got Chris Brown, who really, I mean, I got to be honest, Lynn, if I was around in this time,
uh-huh,
right now, with some of the shit I did, I'd be in jail all the time. This is
uh-huh
a freaking fist fight, okay?
Yeah.
It's really, and I don't know if people understand this, but the guy was trying to get on his bus, trying to get on the tour bus, and he got knocked the F out. I don't understand how that's an assault. You know, I mean, this guy was trespassing.
Right.
So I don't get that. And, you know, and I'm not keeping up for Chris Brown, but I will say this. I'm tired of hearing about him socking on Rihanna. Because that socking took place 5 years ago.
Wow.
Okay?
It's been that long?
5 years ago, Lynn.
Jeez.
5 years ago.
Wow. That's a long time.
And between that, you know, she took him back in between that time. So they solved issues in between each other. So why is everybody still in their business?
Well, because as a black man in the United States of America, you cannot make a mistake. You can't make a mistake because you're going to pay for it. Don't make it, and don't make it in the public eye. You're gonna pay for it, not for the day that you made the mistake, not for the time that you you served for the mistake, whether it's ostracizing you from society or whatever, but forever. Look at Michael Vick. Michael Vick and the dog incident is over 5 years old.
Yeah, but that wasn't just him. It was him and animal rights. It was him and dog.
But I'm saying, I don't care what it is. It was a dog. A dog.
It was a human creature with a soul.
George Zimmerman killed a human being and didn't go to jail.
I understand.
So I don't
want
to hear shit about a black man killing a dog.
Right now. Why are you yelling at me?
Because it's in a part of a country, it's in a part of the country where dog fighting is acceptable. White folks do it. How many white people have you heard of going
legal,
to jail
though.
For fighting dogs?
That's not legal.
It doesn't matter. I'm saying why you guys make a big deal out of a black dude doing it when white boys do it for big money. They cop fight
in Texas.
I'm not
comparing the two at all. We are just now throwing in the white person card.
Well, I know that probably made you nervous, the white part of you.
No, it didn't make me nervous at all. It just sat there and said, stand up for the white person card. So just throw that in.
So you stood up for the white person card?
I stood up for the white person card right there.
It's just so unfortunate that you always.
I knew it would come out of. I'm just saying, we got to, you know, when somebody, listen, Michael Vick did his time. He paid his price.
Right.
Let it go. I don't know anybody who ever made a mistake. I just don't know anybody. I don't know anybody on the planet who haven't made a mistake. I just haven't met that person.
I understand. That, but I have dogs, so I understand what it is to, you know, to have
okay,
a pet.
Hey, listen, you ain't the only nigga with a dog. I had dogs,
I
too.
Understand
I
that,
dogs.
And the nigga part of
I
me understands.
Dogs. Michael Vick was dog fighting in a part of the country where that's what they do. It's a way of life. It's what they do. They've done it forever. When we was kids, and Johnny, you know this, we used to let our dogs used to fight. We used to let, you know, who had the baddest dog on the block. You know that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But so if we're gonna do that, if we're gonna make people guilty, if we ain't gonna let people forget the shit they did, then why? You know, if y'all want to make some people remember some shit, make some white folks remember about slavery, how they treated us. Make some
we
white
do.
Folks remember. But no, we don't. No, we don't. We don't even talk about it. Y'all maybe even we don't even talk about the lynchings that took place in this country. We don't talk about the murders that take place right now. The unjustified murders. But let a dog get killed. Oh my God! Toto is dead. They killed him.
They're
Right. Just like my child, I'd be quivering on the phone. So when you know something happens to my animal, I'll be quivering on the phone, and I'll let you know why.
Well, and I'll tell you.
To get over it.
There's a young black male that's being murdered as you're quivering about a dog.
I understand, and I have the same, it's not the same empathy, but I have do have feelings for both. I can have feelings for both. You act like that I just only have feelings for one.
First of all, I wasn't talking to you. You made this your personal crusade.
No,
you
I played it,
crusade,
I guess,
did.
A
I was
conversation
to,
between me and, me and you, and nobody else intervened, so it
became
me and
you. Because you injected yourself into a conversation that I was having with the people in Radioland, and you decided you wanted to step up because of your dogs that had nothing to do with Michael Vick, because your dogs ain't no fighting dogs.
They
don't
might
fight.
Not be any dogs. I also have an opinion, just like everybody has an asshole. I have an opinion, just like everybody else has an opinion.
And this is the only thing I heard between you and Jay and T, you know, going back and forth like you were politicians, is T quivering on the phone. Now, I got a 1-800 number if, you know, you want to quiver on the phone. You know, we can
nobody said they wanted to quiver on the phone.
But that's what you were doing.
That
no,
is
said it.
Not
said
what
it.
I was doing over you.
You said you
not over me. Not quivering on me. Trust
not
me.
Not
we,
quivering
we,
on the phone for Jay. You said that I don't know what in contents it was with, but you said, you know, I would quiver on the phone. So that's the only thing I picked up.
But I would quiver over the phone. The only way you would hear me quiver on the phone is over my dog dying or something happening to it. Yes.
And the only thing that I heard was, quotation mark, quivering on the phone, quotation mark. All the other stuff about eagles flying and lambs running around, I didn't hear that.
I get what you're saying, Jay. We when we were growing up, dogs were just dogs. I mean, really, you know.
But listen, you could kill a dog, you could fight a dog. It was no big deal. Listen, I get the dog rights people. I get it. And so Lady T made this her personal crusade, but we're going to take it out of her personal crusade right now and make it the point that I was making. And the point I was making was this. When you get convicted of something, and you serve the time for the conviction, you should get a new start. Now, Michael Milken robbed our country for billions of dollars. So many billions of dollars that he paid back $1.1 billion and went to jail for 4 years. And when he got out, he opened up the Milken Center. And he gave money to different charities. He's now called one of the best people in the world. Nobody ever talks about how much money he must have stolen in order to give us back $1.1 billion. Nobody talks about how many lives he ruined to get the money that he got for his family. Nobody talks about the fact that he paid $500 million to keep his brother from going to jail. Because that's all in his past. Bygones be bygones. But a black man is doing something that is culturally part of the community he grew up in. He's singled out as though he's the only one in the neighborhood, in the community, in the area. He's the only one doing this unsavory behavior. But if you go and do investigations, what you're going to find out is that in his community, in the area that he grew up in, dog fighting goes back centuries. They've been doing it for years. But he gets convicted goes to jail, serves his time, and he still has to pay for it today. Now, you would think that Chris Brown is the first man to hit a woman, and people know about it. There's been beatings. White men been beating women, white women, black women, any woman. They've been beating on women for years. Chris Brown and his girl have a fight. We don't know the circumstances of the fight because neither one of them have ever spoke about it. But not only does he do the time, him and his girl let enough time pass that they end up back together. Hmm. And now, and they're able to not only to break up, get back together, and break up again, but we still stuck on stupid about what he did 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because as a black man, we don't have equal rights. Not even, we don't have equal rights to a dog. A dog have more rights than we have. And then people will say, well, the reason why is because a dog doesn't have a voice. I'm the voice for the dog. Well, you
sure
should
is.
Exercise.
It's for the dog. He just got charged.
Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you real quick since I'm in the middle of talking and your ass can't shut up. So since you're the voice of the dog, then you should have the same compassion and forgiveness and the ability to move forward that you would want if you did something wrong and you paid the price. The man went bankrupt. They sent him into bankruptcy. All the, so what? He killed the dog, so now he can't have a life? Get the fuck out of here.
What I understand, Jay, he wasn't
my
at the house.
No, he wasn't at the house. Mm. But it's the silliness. And then the reason why the silliness can live is because black folk say some of the silliest, craziest shit in the world, like Lady T. This night, yes, it's a girl. It ain't right.
Why
you
gotta shut up? Why gotta shut up? I have an opinion.
Because I run the show and I got you on mute again. That's why. And you interrupt me. Don't interrupt me. If you got something to say, wait till I finish and then you say, can I respond? But no, you gotta. So if you don't like it, tit to tit. Made me now, Lynn. She done made me have to play my favorite song just to get my head back right. Oh. I didn't want to get, you know, and I said today I'm going to pace myself because last night, yesterday when I got off the phone, I thought I was all energized and I had to lay back down. I laid in bed all day.
Sensing hesitation in the way that you relay your love to me. Trying to test and see how imperfect, perfect love can be. Oh, I know you've been hurt before. I know how it is when you're trying to find you. Cause I've been hurt before, and I've been in repair mode.
I know what it takes to get through. Can't let that phase make you give away us, give up on trust. And that's when we start to argue.
Not traditional
when it comes to loving you.
Love.
us, cause that's when we're done of you. We shouldn't have to fight to make love, and we ain't gotta break up to make up. There's no obligation, cause our foundation is more than enough. It's not conditional.
Traditional, it's not conditional. It's available at iTunes right now. All right, Lady T, now the mic is open. Say what you got to say.
I'm saying that, you know, I have a 15-year-old dog, so I've taken care of that dog for 15 years, and I just don't think that, I mean, you could have just asked me the question. You didn't have to yell at me.
I wasn't talking to you. It wasn't talking to you. I wasn't even.
See,
but so it wasn't,
let me.
So I don't need to,
you
I don't need to
I,
ask you any question. If
I know, but
to
all
you,
I interject and say, you know, something, and you said, shut up and get the fuck out of here. You don't talk to anybody else like that. Like, you just bounced all over me like it was a personal thing. It is personal for me. It's an advocacy thing for me. I have two dogs that I have taken care of. So you can't deny that. I have an opinion.
Well, you can have your opinion. I got a mute button.
You ain't got to jump all over me for. You ain't got to scream at me. You ain't got to talk.
I can do whatever I want to on this show, unless Lynn Tolliver tell me I can't. So if you get your little feelings hurt, wrong show. This ain't the hurt feeling show. I get on your case, just like I get on Simi's. As a matter of fact, I get on Simi's case hard, and I probably get on anybody's. If you can't stand the heat, get out the damn kitchen. This is the kitchen.
Somebody's statement and opinion.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Check out Bill O'Reilly.
Jay King's News Reel.
Can't go against me on the show if you want to be heard, because I control the mute button, Lynn. The only person that can't get muted on the show is Lynn.
Not going against you, just have an opinion, that's all.
I know, and when I didn't want to hear it, you know, I just muted you, that's all.
I understand.
Let me ask you a question. Mr. D.O.W., when you say something I don't like, what do I do to you?
You hit the mute button.
Simi, if you say something I don't like, what do I do to you?
You have no problem muting me.
I got that by now, John. I got that by now, Jay. For real.
Okay, no, you don't, because you keep jibber jabbing and getting yourself put on mute. Like you just did.
Jabbing, it's just
they on mute again. Hey, remember when Toby, when they kept asking what his name was?
He kept saying Toby.
No, he kept saying Kunta.
Kunta. Until that whip cut him in the right spot. Toby, be good, nigga master. Toby, be good, nigga master.
I'm gonna get the Toby out of her yet, Lynn. I'm gonna get the Toby out of her yet.
I don't think so. I think that once she takes a stance, it's like a buffalo. Nina Cherry, Buffalo stance. You know, once she takes a stance, T. Spence, you know, she probably, you know, this is what
Sam said, where's the battle beat?
That's what happened to the battle beat, Jay.
I'm not going to take nobody's master nothing. I'm not going to be nobody's master nothing.
I know, you back on mute again.
Jay King's News Reel.
Older inmate broke out of jail to escape rap music. A prisoner in the UK reportedly escaped prison in order to free himself from the rap music being played constantly on his floor. According to Robert Stevens, who's 58, he had no choice but to escape since rap music was being played day and night on his wing. He also complained that the younger inmates had been pestering him about buying drugs. Stevens made the revelation during a court appearance in Gloucestershire. Well, this is in the UK, so Gloucestershire. When discussing why he climbed over a fence to escape the minimum security prison, he was in a very noisy wing where rap music was being played day and night, said his defense attorney, Jamie Porter. He was also being constantly pestered to purchase drugs by younger cellmates. Stevens has apologized for his behavior. It was an impulsive act on his part. It is quite clear he does not wish to commit any more crime. Judge Roger Jarvis explained that prison is a punishment. An inmate shouldn't expect to be made comfortable. The reason for your escape has been explained to me as your unhappiness at people who were with you in prison. I'm afraid that's one of the prices people pay if they commit crimes and go to prison. Prior to escaping, Stevens was serving 6 years for robbery. He managed to escape capture for 20 days while he hid out in several different towns in the area. Police reached out to the public for assistance in catching the escaped convict and finally found him at Corral's Bookmakers in Bridgeport, Dorset on March 29th. Stevens will now serve an additional 10 months in jail because of his escape. Now, Lynn, do you believe that he escaped? Ladies, he is in the chat room saying, dogs still have rights. Yes, they do.
What did I tell you?
Hey, Lynn, you know, that's the one thing about a woman. You know, they the reason why they had Toby getting beat is because if they wanted
a woman to meet, change her name.
She'd have died.
She'd have died.
The movie would have been over at that point.
And so, like I told you, I said, I don't believe T is going to chase the way. You ain't going to make no Toby out of her. You know, her name is going to be Toby Smith. Her name is going to be T.J.
She's going to be Coot. She's going to say Coot to Smith.
T. Kente. T. Kente. Coot to Kente. T. Kente. That's what you're going to be.
Okay, so now look, if this guy really was worried about rap music, wouldn't he had a broke out of jail and then came back and said, look, I escaped the rap music. I don't want to be in prison in that wing because they play rap music and trying to sell me drugs. Why would he escape and be running for 20 days and hiding?
I don't know.
And then they only gave him 10 months. He got an additional 10 months.
For escaping?
Yeah.
See, that didn't make sense at all. Yeah, but if somebody was tagging him in the booty, you know, it wouldn't be like this. Hey, why'd you leave? Because I hate rap records. You know, he's not going to say, because I hate getting tagged in the booty. You know, so, you know, I'm allergic to roaches, and there's a whole bunch of them. Well, I'm not going to say nothing about getting tagged in the booty because most people, you know, and I don't know, I've only been in jail twice, but it was like a holding cell, you know, so I didn't really get, like, transferred into the major population where they go. And it was for traffic. It was one was for traffic, and one was for being with a person I shouldn't have been with. So, you know, that's my punishment. You know, but
when,
anyway.
When you say, when you, hold on, hold on. When you say one you shouldn't have been with, were you purchasing something?
No, no. I ain't never done no shit like that. You know, what happened was this guy who was a DJ, you know, there was like a street jock. He was, we were getting ready to go get some chicken. So he says, hey, man, I'm getting ready to go get some chicken. I said, okay, shit, yeah, chicken, right. Count me in. I'm black. I'm a nigga. I eat chicken. Okay, so then as soon as we got like a block up, there was five cop cars that surrounded us.
Uh-oh, he was talking about them other chickens.
No, he had been a hit skip. He had reported a stolen car person. You know, he had like about 3 or 4 hit skips in different cities. So there was a warrant out for his arrest, and they had the car. He was in the car that they said he stole.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to tell me that he had some chickens on him. I was like,
oh, no.
Yeah.
So,
I know
what
kind of chickens those
was,
are.
I was a mailman. I had my mailman suit on. And then, you know, they ran my name, and it said clear. So I said, good, I'm going home. And this little short, and this is why, you know, black people can be just as much of a dickhead as anybody else. It was a short black cop, a cop. He said, you know, like this, hey, what are we going to do with this guy? He's clear, you know. The guy said, book him. And I'm thinking, what? So I go to jail, I spend the night in jail, and I'm in a lineup the next day, and I'm thinking, what if they pick me out of the lineup, and I ain't even got shit to do with this shit? You know, but my father
wow.
came and got me. Yeah, that's crazy, you know.
Yeah,
so,
well, you know, once they got you, they treat you like crap on the stick. That's
yeah.
Like, and the cells are just stinky. They just smell like piss.
Nasty, because people
They
piss.
Just smell like piss. I mean, it's just the stankiest smell ever. And it's almost like they want to degrade you, you know, with the smells and stuff. Delia said it's spelled Gloucestershire. Gloucestershire, the place that he was in England. And then Janet said, one thing I have to give Lady T, she takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So anyway, you know, I wonder if Gloucestershire has sauce like Worcestershire. You know, Gloucestershire, get it? Gloucestershire sauce.
Yeah, well, that might be where it came from. Now this is a very, very sad and troubling story. This might make me think why we might be in the last days, man. Some of the stuff that we're doing, and I don't know why the J. King newsreel is running, Lynn, but I ain't heard nothing.
We're on Blog Talk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anything can happen at any moment.
Yeah. Wow.
What?
Well, it's running, but I don't hear it. And you don't hear it. Okay, so anyway, J. King News Reel. Chicago teens murdered over petty Facebook argument. Two Chicago best friends were found dead after a Facebook argument, says the mother of one of the teens. Jordan Means, 16, and Anthony Bankhead, 18, were found murdered in the basement of a Chicago apartment after a disagreement over a stolen power cord. The body of the boys were found mixed in with the heaps of trash in a Southside basement, according to DNA info. Jordan's mother, Camille Cochran, confirmed that her son had gotten into a petty argument with three older men on Facebook on the night before he was killed. She claimed one of the men her son argued with had also pulled a gun on him. Cochran said she'd just seen her son prior to his body being found less than a block away from home. Very quickly, she says, news began to spread that Jordan and his best friend had been shot. I couldn't look at them bring my son out, she said. Who wants to see their son with a hole in his head? Every time I close my eyes, all I see is my son. She confirmed that her son ran with an older crowd. An argument led to this. That's crazy. Now I don't have my son no more. Given her son's stature, she wondered why anyone would shoot him. But Cochran did confirm that she knows the shooter. You could have blew on Jordan, and he would fall over. He was so skinny, she said. Police have not arrested anyone for murdering the two teens.
Gee whiz.
A power cord, Lynn?
Yeah. That doesn't shock me because people have been killed over stairs. So, you know, and I think what happens is there's some intensity within the individual that maybe have executed the process. You know, and they were just waiting for anything to go off on.
It's just, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know. Somebody's calling from a 415. 415-694. Who's calling?
That's Blog Talk.
You know, I like when we can hear, when we can really hear the conversations.
Yeah, you can't really hear that one.
No, I really can't really hear that, but I like when we can listen to, you know, just think of one time we're doing our show and somebody in there tearing it up.
You mean sticking and clicking?
Just bam, yeah, you know. But come, hurry up, I want to finish listening to Kings in the Morning. Yeah, I'm your king this morning, though. I'm your king this morning. Come on, boy, hurry up. Come on, hurry up, I'm trying to listen to him. Yeah, we rocking that boat. Who's your daddy? We hearing everything.
Donald 4000.
And then he gets on the phone. Hello, guys. How are you? Now we know how he really sounds, when he get nasty. Yeah. This is a crazy story, y'all. This is a crazy story.
Jay King's News Reel.
Man gets life in prison for loaning his car to his roommate. Ryan Holly from Florida has been a model citizen his entire life. He has never had a run-in with the law, has a clean arrest record, and yet he's in prison for life without any chance of parole for premeditated murder. At the time of the alleged crime, Holly was at home asleep in bed. Thanks to our justice system and the felony murder rule, Holly is in prison for life, even though he technically had nothing to do with what happened that night.
Wow.
There are only three states that no longer recognize this rule. One night after a party, Holly lent his car to his roommate, which he had done several times before. He went to sleep once his roommate left. The roommate went to a house where a woman was selling pot. The dealer's daughter was killed that night. Everyone at the scene was punished for the murder. Ryan was also arrested for being a part in a murder, even though he was at home sound asleep. The felony murder rule dictates that anyone who has any part in a felony murder case is punished whether they were involved directly or not. The moment that Holly handed the keys to his roommate, he became an unknowing part in murder. At first, Holly had been offered a plea deal of 10 years in prison. He declined the plea as he didn't feel that he'd done anything wrong and wanted to go to trial. At the trial, they convicted him and sentenced him to life in prison. He is serving his 11th year at this point. Prisoner advocate Charles Groton said that this was the first time they had ever seen someone sentenced to this much time in prison for loaning a car. Groton spoke with the parents of the girl who was murdered, and the father said that Holly's sentence was completely warranted. The mother served 3 years in prison for the sale of drugs. Ryan was denied clemency for his case. He writes to Groton and said that when he gets out of prison, he's going to speak up against the felony murder rule. Unfortunately, unless something can be brought to the public, Holly will most likely die in prison for a crime he never committed.
It's an unfortunate story.
So, and how many states is this law? How many states is this law active?
Three states, Florida being one of them.
Florida's like a messed up state, ain't it?
Florida, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a black man and you live in Florida,
watch out.
Beware.
Watch it, sucker.
Beware.
What are the other two states?
They didn't name them. I don't know. I'll have to find out. I just read the story. You know, unfortunately, Lynn, I don't really read the stories. I just find them as I go, and I save them if they sound interesting to me. And, you know, so that's why sometimes I read them, and then I stop in the middle of them because they're written like crap. Like, even this one was written like crap, but it was so important what they were saying, and I just had to read around it.
Yeah. That's crazy, though.
But let me tell you some of the comments that people are saying. James Williams says, this is just another trap that was set by the state of Florida to set up the black man. This is so terribly wrong. What a terrible system that Florida has in place. In Florida, if you're white, you can get away with killing innocent black kids. But if you're black, you can go to prison for the rest of your life for loaning your car. This is just downright stupid. I pray that this young man is able to get out of prison soon. And just think about that, you guys.
He's serving his 11th year, right? That's what you
read.
Yeah,
he's serving his 11th year, yeah.
How come they didn't tell us about this 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
Because they've kept it under the rug.
Damn.
Somebody finally get this story out. This is probably happening every day in Florida, Lynn. Think about this. George Zimmerman killed somebody. He's free. Black guy loans his car to somebody. He just loaned the car to him.
And he's serving a life sentence.
Injustice has no color. This man didn't do anything wrong. That is correct. Breaks my heart to see things like this happen to anyone. Our justice system is corrupt in many ways, but please don't blame white people. I am white, and I will probably protest that what is right, not what is white. Well, you know, it's easy for white folks to say, Jenny, it's easy for you to say that as a white woman, because it don't happen to you the way it happened to us. And, you know, and I know white people, you know, they're like, you know, I don't understand why you guys blame all of us. Well, I mean, we're not blaming all of you guys. It's just that if enough of y'all got together, maybe, you know, and said, you know, we're not gonna stand for this. Because if we say we're not going to stand for it, they're going to kill us. We ain't got to stand for it. Today, but even regular white folk, I don't even think they had a power anymore, Lynn. I think regular white folk are in the same boat we in. Because they just killing regular white folk, too, now.
Surely.
They just
hey, this is what I have assessed. The pilgrims that came from England were not, like, honest people. They weren't, like, the greatest people. They were set
ashift,
right? So those are the people that put the rules together. Why would you trust a crook? You know, why would you trust a crook to do the right thing?
Yeah, and not only that, Lynn. Like you said, these weren't the best people.
Right.
These were the worst people. These are, you know, they're like, you know what? You know, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. And they sent them off to discover a new land, You know, and how can you discover new land where people already live?
This land already, yeah. The America.
Man, that's like me going by your house one day and said, "Oh man, I just found a new house."
Come on in.
No, ain't no come on in.
Yeah,
I just found a new house. I walk in. I just walk in.
Yep, they'll be taking you back out on a stretcher.
That's because Johnny's waiting for you.
Yeah,
but
you know what?
The next time they come, there'll be 100. You know, so that's what happens. You know, it seems like evil can gather a crowd faster than good. But, you know, good never wins in the end, but the casualties along the way is kind of tough. But, you know, the pilgrims were not honest. You know, and I'm not saying all of them weren't honest. I'm sure a couple of them, you know, chewed a toothpick or two, and it was okay. But, you know, mostly they were, you know, kicked out of England. Okay, so then now the United States already had Indians were already here.
Yep.
Yeah.
With the buffaloes.
But, I mean, you know, but they weren't even Indians. The reason why they called them Indians is because they thought they landed in India.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, they're Native Americans now. They should come up with
But they weren't. They were just native to the land.
Right. It's an unfair, you know, but nobody's going to rewrite the history books. You know, nobody's going to correct it and make it a big deal to change everything. Like, you know, what is that medicine that begins with a T? And it killed 7 people, and they did a massive campaign. You know, we're not going to get any massive campaigns of apologies and correctness. I don't use that medicine, but it's a headache medicine. Tylenol.
Stop it, Simi. Simi gonna say he said Tylenol 6 times before you came in. Tylenol.
I was slow. I admit.
You know,
slow on that.
They did a massive campaign. Tylenol is the number one thing. You're not gonna get that in the correct name for the Native American. You're not gonna get that. You know.
Right.
Because they want those theories and those incorrect assumptions to last forever. They want them to be around so that you'll be confused and make wrong decisions based on wrong information. You know, like Curtis Mayfield said, educated fools from uneducated schools. So, yeah.
You know, I remember growing up and being taught history, U.S. history, and just the things that they were teaching us, you know, about you know, how, I guess, what was it, George Washington that cut the cherry tree, and who was the guy that couldn't tell a lie?
That was George Washington. He cut the cherry tree and said,
yeah.
That was a lie.
Yeah.
And that
you
was
know,
a lie.
you know, and then, you know, I remember when they started bringing black history into the school system, and it was really tough to bring it in.
Well, they brought in, because they only brought in 6 people.
Yeah.
Who did you learn about? I'm going to tell you who you learned about black history. Harriet Tubman, Sojourner
mm-hmm.
Truth, Booker
mm-hmm.
T. Washington.
That's right.
Frederick Douglass, Benjamin Banneker, and who else?
George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver.
They didn't talk about Nat Turner.
No, they didn't. I didn't say George Washington. I didn't say George Washington Carver. And George Washington Carver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's who you learned about. And every year you learned about them.
That's it.
So you know everything about them in 6 paragraphs because that's all they got. So after a little while, you always got an A in black history because it was the same test from last year. All they did was rearrange the questions. Ridiculous. But that's the country we live in, land of the free, home of the brave, that, you know, justice for all. Ain't that right, Donald Fokay? Take yourself off
mute. Land of the brave and home of the free. Is that how that goes?
Yeah, and you can be as nasty as you want to be.
Back then. Not now.
Not now.
Yeah.
And then some. Change Man.
Jay King's News Reel.
Whoopi Goldberg has nasty words for Kenya Moore. The Bravo TV reality series, The Real Housewives of Atlanta, recently had its reunion for its sixth season. The fight between Portia Williams and Kenya Moore was so shocking that even the ladies from The View had to weigh in on it. The verbal argument turned physical once Moore began to make comments toward Williams about her character. Moore, a.k.a. Kenya the Man, which is what I call her, never wanted to hide her feelings, made sure to make her sentiments clear with the bullhorn, outright saying to Williams, "You're a dumb hoe. Shut up." Williams immediately got off the couch in her gown to address Moore's statement. Soon after, both women's weaves started fighting, and Williams' weave pulled Moore's weave to the ground. A fight ensued, and both women were on the floor, weaves and a full weave lock. The cast from The View showed the clip to do a recap of what took place. It appears that the cast from The View is Team Portia. Sherry Shepherd, co-host of The View, spoke in response to Moore's behavior that night. But Kenya, I'm not excusing you either, because you had a scepter that you kept putting in people's faces. What are you teaching little girls who look up to you? Shepherd makes it a point to also hold Williams responsible for her actions. However, it seems that the ladies from The View are more appalled with the way Kenya the Man coerced Williams. Whoopi Goldberg also had something to say to Moore. "I will ask you, Kenya the Man, do you think it was okay for you to provoke people because you look like a man? Because if you're worried about your image and how people are going to see you, I don't know if messing with people like this is the right thing to do, Kenya the Man." It seems like Kenya the Man cannot redeem her character. Even with her statement released after the fight, Kenya the Man's statement reads like this. "There are little girls who look up to me. I would never want those girls, my nieces, or my future children to see me fighting. I'm not Kenya the Man. Man." Did anybody see the fight?
Yeah, they said that Portia's hair is
real. Am I on mute?
No, I missed.
They said that Portia's hair was real. I saw the thing. Andy Cohen was the referee.
It was real. It was real when she bought it.
So she has
it.
Did you see it?
Yes, it was good.
I got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good fight.
Yeah, I thought that Kenya the Man should have got her weave pulled.
So do
I.
I liked it too. I liked the way she stood up, got up on her, because I didn't understand. I didn't know how thick Portia was until she stood up, and then she was in that dress, and then, you know, Kenya stood up, and then her weave went down. They went down. But I applaud her for being humble at the end and said she apologized for letting her bring that out in her.
That was a smart move. That was a good.
That was a smart
move.
Right?
Because she was going to get fired. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you know there's a new song out behind this, Lynn.
What is it?
We's coming down. We've coming down since you've been around, Portia. My we've been falling down to the ground. It's called We've Coming Down. You guys, it's gonna be available at iTunes.
Portia is the wife of the football player, right?
Yeah, right. The sweetness.
think he's a little...
Yeah, the sweet one, right.
Well, you know, we don't know if Cordell is sweet, because he don't know if he's sweet.
No,
he balanced.
Well, I was talking about Porsche, because she was the was the homemaker.
No, Johnny, yeah, no, Johnny Graham at the table was talking about...
Cordell Stewart.
See, you said that Porsche was sick. What was wrong with her?
No, thick.
I said thick. She was
thick.
When she stood up, like she had some curves about her that I didn't know. When, you know, I already knew that, you know, Kenya's curvaceous from her, you know, booty pumps and stuff. But, you know, I didn't know that Porsche was as thick. I thought she was kind of like a stick figure.
Well, she used to be.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because she did get some surgery done. She got some surgery done.
Yeah, she got some work. You know, she got her, and I don't understand why girls do this. And she got her boobs done, right? So this is what's going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She's going to be 60, and her boobs are going to be 16. And this ain't going to look right. I just ain't
gonna
look right.
Underground train station.
Oh,
you see, look what happened to Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, he looked terrible.
All the surgery just turned him into a monster. You know, look at Arnold
Mickey
Schwarzenegger.
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. Yeah. I mean, it's like once you get the surgery, it requires more surgery. You know, look what happened to Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson he became part of the Whoville. And the Cat in the Hat.
And the new Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Because once you do the surgery, you got to correct the surgery. Because, you know, it ain't like the surgery was bad when you got it. But let's say the surgery is for 3 years is good. Right? So just like the titties, the girls that got the titties. So you got titties 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you bought a car 20 years ago, right?
Right.
And you buy a car today, one of those cars are new, one of those cars are old. You know, even the old car, even though it's a beautiful car, you know, unless you've been sitting it in the driveway or in the garage and you haven't driven it, you know, and you got 20 miles on it or 1,000 miles on it or something, that car got some wear and tear on it. It's the same with titties. You know, unless you've been just sitting them there and nobody's been touching them, you haven't been doing nothing to them, you know, those titties got some wear and tear on them.
Can titties that have been added to a person, can a baby get milk out of them titties?
Yeah.
They can?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it artificial milk? Powdered milk?
No. If you got false titties, are you saying if you got false titties, can you get titties out of a milk?
Yeah, you can.
No, you cannot. No, you cannot.
I thought if they placed it underneath the muscle that they could get it.
No, you can't.
They
can
get breast milk out of there.
Once you got the false titty, that's it.
You can't do it.
You can't do nothing.
No more milk action.
You've been sucked some of the saline out of the little titty thing, and now the baby dead.
Ooh, oh, jeez.
Right.
You know, I don't even like tit milk. I don't like.
But you know what?
I know you're not worried about
that, Lady T, because it's not a dog.
Well, you know, regardless of if it was a dog or if it was breast implants, I still am there for both. If a woman wants to get breast implants, I feel like she should. I feel like if a person wants to get a dog, I feel like they should.
Do the dog.
What if
a dog wants a breast implant?
Excuse me?
What if the dog wanted a breast implant? You heard him.
What if a dog wants breast implants?
I
think you're just being silly now. Silly.
What if the dog, one of your dogs said,
implants? You want breast implants? You want breast implants? That's what the dog's going to say?
Let me ask you a question. Are your dogs fixed? Because I think when dogs get fixed, that's cruel and unusual punishment.
Yes, my dogs are fixed, but
wow,
my dogs
came. Wow, so
you're
really not a dog lover.
I am
what?
A dog lover. My dogs came from the kennel, so they were already done before you can even take them out of the kennel. So that is an option that is inoperable. So don't say that I am not a dog lover. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. How would you feel if somebody fixed you?
I would feel bad. I would feel bad, but I didn't have any choice. I didn't have any choice in it. For me, I would rather save a dog than kill a dog.
Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
Yippee-yay, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay,
yippee-yay. What if the dog said, I don't want to be here. I can't get none. It ain't like, you know, I'm watching you hump around. I'm watching you get your freak on. I can't get none.
Well, if they say that to me, then we'd have to have a conversation. But I don't think that has been said to me at this point in time, so I can't have that conversation.
Let me ask you a question. Do you speak dog?
Is somebody high-hiding like a dog?
Do you speak dog?
Wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
Is that Daryl Plowden?
Daryl Plowden, what's up, man?
What's up now?
All right. I'm going to listen to this dog fight. I want to tell Jay a story about my family from Florida.
Go ahead, tell me about your story about your family.
Okay, Jay, you know my mom and dad is from Florida, born and raised. Me and my youngest sister, the only ones born in California. So they always tell us a story when they were about 16. My mom and my dad were 17, ready to get up out of Florida. And there was a neighborhood computer. My dad put his name in there because it was known as basically only like 3 jobs in the town. So he put his name in the computer. And it came. This is like 1947. So it came back MMMMMFR2PC4O. So when he got it translated, he found out it said, "Meet me Monday morning, motherfucker, ready to pick cotton or oranges." And he joined the Air Force the next day. Never went back to live.
Wow. Now who told him what it meant?
Well, that was at the church, I believe, when they had the computer, and they deciphered what the abbreviation stood for. But a black man don't have a chance in Florida, man. That's a fact. If you're a woman, you can stick around.
Okay, now hold on. Now you said
that
this. You said, but now you said when your father was a kid, this happened, right? When he was young.
About 17 years old, almost 17 years old.
They didn't have computers back then.
They had a homemade computer. That was telling them what the jobs were. They had somebody in the church building, so it was only 3 jobs.
Okay.
Either you were going to pick cotton, fern, or oranges, or you were going to jail.
Oh, okay. Wow. Oh, no.
So that mentality is still there today.
Well, they got that. They still had that mentality, except for now they say you're going to pick cotton, ferns, and oranges, just that you're going to be in jail. Why you doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Because they had that for you. See, I'm going to tell you something.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you, it's some Negroes that are untouchable.
Jay King's News Reel.
Not really untouchable, but untouchable, and to white folks that they're touchable. Producer tries to extort Jay-Z in Live Nation. Now, I want you guys, I'm going to read you this story, Lynn, and then I want you to tell me if this sounds like extortion to you, okay? Jay-Z and Live Nation are embroiled in an extortion plot involving lost masters Jay-Z recorded during the early days at Rockefeller Records. Producer Chauncey Mahon tried to extort $100,000 from Jay-Z and Live Nation in exchange for the missing masters, rumored to be worth between $15 and $20 million. After a sting set up by Live Nation, Chauncey was briefly detained and questioned by police, and the tapes have been confiscated until a judge can determine their rightful owner. Chauncey denies the extortion allegations, claiming the $100,000 was simply a storage fee for keeping the tapes safe after all these years. In turn, Jay-Z and Live Nation filed a criminal larceny complaint. The investigation is ongoing. Does this sound like extortion to any of you? Anybody?
I don't know. I'm speechless.
I'm kind of thinking so, because why does he need over $100,000 just to hold on to some? Why can't you just hold on to him for GP? Unless you've had that idea and you've had that contract and had that conversation before the fact, well, if you're going to hold on to him, I'm going to charge you.
That still is an extortion. Does this sound like extortion to you, Lynn?
I wasn't really paying attention.
That's okay.
So I couldn't.
Does this sound like extortion
to
you, Simi? Okay. Who's got the noise? DOW? Anybody?
Well, I don't think it sounds like extortion. It sounds like just bad.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Before you start, DOW, when I said, does this sound like extortion to any of you, why is there so much silence? Why wouldn't somebody, if you have an opinion, why do I have to come to you to say it?
I'm scared. I'm scared, Jay. So
I was on mute. Sorry.
I was
waiting for someone else to comment. But the problem is that's not true for me, Lynn, but and Jay, you know the situation I'm dealing with right now, but as far as...
Oh, that's right. I forgot. That's right. You said you were working today. Okay. So you're
right.
Excused.
As far as
if the rest of you sap suckers, other than Lynn...
Well, I've been doing stuff,
Lady
Jay.
And Lady T. You what?
I've been doing stuff. I'm preparing my, you know, I'm being, you know, as attentive as I can. But, you know,
Well, why the hell are you on the show if you prepare stuff? See, what happened is this.
No,
let me tell you what happened.
Right there.
Let me tell you what happened. What happened was this.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. DOW said, hey, Jay, today I'm at work and I'm going to be doing the show. Is that cool? Yes, it is. Simi came on and said, hey, and we talked about your... Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka, remember?
Yeah.
And you cleared your throat to get your ka-ka-ka-ka-ka in order.
This morning.
Yeah, and we just went on with a general conversation. Not once did you say, I'm going to be doing stuff, or is it okay? Because
well,
then I wouldn't...
it's not that.
Then
I'm
would
not
have to,
doing
then I would,
that much. I'm not
you're
doing that
doing something
much.
Because
I'm not doing that much,
Jay. You're doing something because I'm trying to get a conversation going here with people that aren't involved. So let me tell you guys why this is an extortion. Since I don't have a crew, I want their attention to it.
I'm scared, Jay. That wasn't meant to you, DLW. I was speaking for myself. He says, why was there silence? I'm scared.
Samuel said, radio sideshow host.
Sideshow Bob's.
And thank you, Mr. LES. Mr. LES says, no, it's not extortion. But do you see what they do? You see how money and power can distort things just in a headline? Producer tries to extort Jay-Z in Live Nation. That's the headline. And then you read it. So... a couple of things that you have to think about here. Lynn, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you had things in a storage unit, right?
Okay.
And 20 years later, you want to get those things from the storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the storage unit has changed hands a few times.
Okay.
And now... you know, I don't have record of your stuff being in the unit, but now that I find it, because, this thing has changed unit hands a couple of times. And
yeah.
I'm going to charge you for 20 years worth of storage.
But I've been paying all along?
No, you haven't.
Well, then they have the right to destroy that stuff. They have the right to throw it away. That's what it says on the agreement.
Okay, but okay. So let's just say that, now let's say that you've been storing stuff for me in your house.
Okay.
I left
it. That's different.
No, it's not.
How's that not different? There's no written agreement. There's no...
No, but I still got the right. I still got the right.
To throw your shit out?
That's right.
To keep it?
Didn't Kobe's parents sell his stuff?
Johnny, that's different. That's his mom and dad.
Oh, that's different. Oh,
he knew
okay.
He knew where his stuff was.
It was his
in other words, if this guy had simply thrown these tapes away, nobody could have done nothing to him.
Hmm.
They're in his possession. Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah.
You're saying it's his?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because if you throw something away in garbage and somebody else takes it, it's theirs. So why not just take it without putting it in garbage?
Hmm. So you telling me if I lend Lynn my lawnmower for 6 years and then go get it back, he could keep it?
No, you loan Lynn your lawnmower for 6 years. But let me say this to you, Johnny. If you loaned him the lawnmower and you didn't come get it for 6 years, he might have an argument that you gave it to him. Because when you lend somebody something, you come back to get it. And if he's maintained the lawnmower, if he's stored the lawnmower,
sweat equity. You ain't getting your lawnmower back, Johnny Bay.
So it's not that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, you guys have a written agreement where you say that you loaned it to him.
Right.
Because he could say, no, you didn't loan it to me. You gave it to me. And you know what the judge would say?
What?
There's no written agreement here. So I got to use my common sense in this. If you had loaned him the lawnmower, then you would have came to get it back at some time prior to these 6 years.
I moved to an apartment, baby. I moved to an apartment.
Then,
I need to cut grass. And then when I moved back to a house, I need my lawnmower back.
Well, you know what? What that makes me know that you probably gave it to him since you were living in an apartment. And now because you're living in a house, you want the lawnmower back. But you haven't written it down, so I have to go by what my gut tells me.
Okay. Mm. All right, Your Honor.
And my gut tells me, and, you know, and I watched Judge Milian enough to know that that's how that case is going to end.
Judge Judy. Judge Alice.
See, that's something I didn't know, Jay. You know, that's something, you know, that I just had no idea of. See, when I
but
go
when
back
somebody,
to get my shit,
if somebody owns, I mean, if somebody, if I'm in possession of some master reels,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
And see, if we don't even know if this producer even, you know, he might have produced these reels.
Okay.
He could have.
He might have been the producer of some of these tracks that they didn't use. So we don't even know that because they haven't talked about that yet.
Mm.
But the fact that they're in his possession, he does not own what he can't do. He can't sell them to anybody else, and he can't release them.
Why's that?
See, a lot of people,
why?
Because there's no contract. See, it works both ways.
Then it ain't no good to him.
It's no good to anybody. But what Jay-Z and them tried to do is muscling. And now because it's in the court, a judge is going to look at a couple of things. Number one, he's going to look at if this guy, if he's a musician involved with the recording or the creating of the music, because that's going to give him a certain amount of ownership. He's going to have a certain part of that copyright is his too. Because, again, there's no agreement that exists between the parties. And you know why we know there's no agreement that exists between the parties?
Because if there was,
that's right, because Jay-Z would have said, no, I had this agreement. And the reason why I know that is because when the Vanilla Ice thing went down on the first album with Ice Ice Baby, and I had four songs on there, and when everybody was fighting because there was no agreement, I was getting my money because I had an agreement. And I sent my agreement over to the record company, over to the management company, and over to his lawyer and said, if I don't get paid, if I don't have a check in the next 24 to 48 hours, I'm going to file a cease and desist against this whole project and stop everything. Mm. Because an agreement is that powerful.
Mm.
When there's no agreement, you have these kind of issues. But it's not a clear-cut case for Jay-Z and Live Nation. This guy is in possession of these masters. It's 9/10 of the law. He's going to end up getting something. He protected the masters. He took care of them. He's going to get something. That's, and remember I said it.
Jay King's News Reel.
Scrappy calls Diamond a lying industry hoe. Last week, rapper Diamond appeared on popular morning radio show The Breakfast Club to promote her new reality show, Sisterhood of Hip Hop. Diamond didn't hold back anything. She talked about how her former boyfriend, Little Scrappy, used to beat her, and how his mother, Mama D, ruined her credit and stole her Louis Vuitton bag. Scrappy and Mama D blasted Diamond for lying. Scrappy and his mother denied Diamond's claims, calling her a lying chambermaid and a lying industry hoe. What's more, Scrappy said he gave Diamond her start in the music business and paid $20,000 to get her nasty-ass teeth fixed and bought her a new butt. As for Mama D, she says she never stole nothing from Diamond D because Diamond D ain't never had shit.
Wow.
This is a black news.
Wow.
You want more? And there's more where that come from.
Jay King's News Reel.
Jay-Z and Beyonce won't be going to Kanye's wedding.
Uh-oh.
Back in March, there were rumors that Jay-Z turned down Kanye West's request to be the best man at his wedding. Now there are reports that J.D. doesn't plan to show up at all. Jay-Z probably would be there if it wasn't going to be such a public event. Instead, he's making it up to Kanye by throwing him the most extravagant bachelor party known to man. It will cost a small fortune. And to top it all off, word is he's added a yacht rental in there as a wedding gift as well.
Dang.
So those headlines are like really false. It's like it's trying to indicate that Jay-Z and Kanye have issues.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jay-Z and Beyonce don't like Kim Kardashian. They don't like her at all.
Okay.
But they like Kanye.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you got
but they know that she been popping that vagina. She been doing the vagina pop for a long time. It's
yeah.
like her
coochie.
Vagina is like popcorn.
You know how
popcorn, how it's just in the little tin, it's just laying there, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it start popping, and then it's just everywhere.
Yeah, but if you down with the guy, you know, you don't even say that you don't like his lady. You don't like this. Hey, Jack,
right.
Man, you don't like this. Hey, man, I would come to your house, man, but your wife is stank. You know, you don't say that. You know, you just
no.
say like this. Hey, why don't you come by, baby? You know, man, I got to go over to my mother's house. Well, your mother's been dead. I still got to go over her house. Don't make me tell the truth, nigga. Shit.
And then he yell out, don't make me tell the truth, nigga. I don't want to.
Wow.
Jay King's News Reel.
Cuba Gooding Jr. is getting divorced. Former high school sweethearts, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Man.
And Sarah Kapfer are pulling the plug on their relationship. Sarah has filed for legal separation from her actor husband, Cuba Gooding Jr., after 20 years of marriage. Sarah cites irreconcilable differences as the reason for the separation and is seeking joint legal and physical custody of their two minor children. Wow.
Have you seen her?
Wow, man.
Yeah, I've seen her.
That's sad.
I never even heard of her.
You know what they say about beauty, Lynn?
It's skin deep, right? Eyes of the beholder.
No, man.
Let me just say, what my eyes behold as beauty, and his eyes behold as beauty.
Yeah.
Are two different beholdments.
You know what?
God, somewhere in this immediate vicinity, there's someone in a relationship that is no good for them. It is either abusive, or one of the parties, or both parties are married, and all know they are doing the wrong thing, but they just can't seem to break the sexual bond that binds them. Somewhere within this read or spoken verse, someone is molesting someone because they were molested, and they would like to break the cycle. Father, help us. Put things in front of us that inspire to do the right. Help us think better and do better. Put in our way books to read, internet pages with positive, but take us off this path of destruction so we can be contributors and not takers and destroyers. Help us all, and please, amen.
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 Wow, amen.
Hey, you know what, Lynn? You see how I was talking about relationships and then that happened?
Yeah.
That's a trip.
Yeah, that is a trip. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like we're on the same wavelength or something.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, don't forget to tune into
Wild Wednesday.
Is that?
Wild Wednesday.
Is that you, Lynn?
Is it me?
Is that Lynn doing that? Yeah, don't forget to tune into Wild Wednesdays today from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time right here in about 5 minutes. Johnny, what do you have coming up on Wild Wednesdays?
Oh, man, we going to seize the day.
All right. You know, speaking of seizing the day, Karen White got a lot of season coming up here in May. You know, she's I just got this guy just – we've been trying to get in touch with this guy from – she's got to be in South Carolina. He finally decided to call me today. So I'm going to get with him when I'm off the line. And then she's got to go to – so she's in South Carolina. And then we're on our way to the U.K. for 5 days.
You're going to?
Yeah, I'm going. To make sure that everything goes exactly how it's supposed to go.
Okay.
I didn't know if I would be able to go because of Club Nouveau, because of some of the stuff, but we have an opening there. We don't start really back up again. We got a couple of dates in May, but then it's not until June that we're June, July, August that we're back at it again. July we're in. Lynn, is this your phone? Let me see if it's you. Is it you, Lynn? Yeah, Lynn, it's you.
Yep, it's stopped.
Yeah, in July we're back in Montego Bay. We're going to be in Montego Bay, and then we're going to be in Oakland at Yoshi's July 9th, and then Sacramento at Lionsgate July 11th, and then July 19th we're going to be in Riverdale right outside of Atlanta, and I believe we have a date coming up in Birmingham, Alabama, too, so we're going to be moving around there. But Karen White will be in Denver the 6th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So So, yeah, so it's going to be, you know, a lot of things coming up.
Nice.
Yeah, don't forget to tune in to the Jay Rao Show today, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Jay King Network. Jay Rao Show, followed by the Music Business, the way I see it, from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm rerunning a show because I got to be honest, you guys, as much as I want to feel good, I feel good, but I don't feel great. And I need to feel great.
You need to go to a witch doctor, Jay, because if Stephanie Beard, the Laker girl, got that boo-boo style on your ass, you know, a witch doctor can dispel all you know, hexes and shit.
Take some cayenne pepper and put it in
your shoe. You know, Stephanie did tell me, she said, Jay, I feel kind of powerful. I feel like you're vulnerable now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm really working hard at. No, I'm feeling better. As you guys can hear me, I feel better. You know, my stool is getting solid. I know it's not what you want to hear,
great.
But I mean, you got to talk
that's
about
great
these
news.
Things. Yeah, that's
great.
News. Look, you don't want to talk about. But I mean, you know what? Yellow. But you know what? I read about what I see. I had a virus. It was, and they said if in 24 or 48 hours, you're still having the same symptoms.
Yeah.
You need to consult a doctor.
Why? What's the name of this virus?
They just said, it didn't say. It just said it's a virus. It says more than likely it's some type of virus, you know, because what I had was nausea, vomiting,
yeah.
And diarrhea.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have a lot of vomiting, it's more than likely food poisoning,
it's
vomiting and nausea.
NBD.
But they said when it's, you know, and I really believe, Lynn, it was the girl who was sitting in my seat while she was sitting in her seat.
Because viruses are contagious.
Yeah, and I think she was, first of all, she shouldn't have, she should have to buy two tickets. She should have, she shouldn't be able to sit in my seat while she's sitting in her seat.
But what if she was sick enough for four people? What if she had bought two seats?
Well, if she had bought two seats, I wouldn't have been sitting by her.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Because she would have had the seat, she would have had that seat.
Okay.
Next time, turn that air on and blast it in her face.
Yeah, all that. So
you know, that's are those restaurants that they just couple people, whether they know each other.
No, I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about on the plane, Lynn.
On the plane? Oh my God, you were trapped. Well, it's a wonder
yeah,
if other people didn't get a little tang, you know, a little stingy, get a little something from her. Damn.
In 2012, Rihanna filed a lawsuit against her accountants, claiming they almost drove her to the poorhouse after giving her bad financial advice. In February 2014, the accountants were ordered to pay up. So color me surprised this week when Rihanna dropped the lawsuit against them. Rihanna decided to settle out of court with a confidential agreement. However, the new settlement doesn't require the accountants to pay Rihanna anything.
Wow.
Interesting, right?
Life is so unfair, Jay. So unfair. You're sick. Rihanna don't get a payback. Johnny Graham's got to do. He got to stick around another hour. T is still pissed off.
And you know what? And Robert Pullum Miles says the tapes belong to him because they were abandoned.
Wow.
All right, you guys. So next up, Johnny Graham, Cracker Davis, and the Honeycomb, I mean, not in the Wild Wednesdays. My name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Johnny Graham, Cracker Davis, Mr. Elliot, Mr. D.O.W., Mr. L.E.S. 2, Mr. D.O.W., San Diego Simi, of course, the tenacious, very tenacious, Lady T, telling you to get busy living because we're going to have enough time dying. Go get them, Johnny.
Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning.
y'all. Let's get busy on Wild Wednesday. Let's seize the day.
Wild Wednesdays with Graham Cracker Davis on the JKN. middle of a musical experience with Johnny Graham Cracker Davis. Johnny Graham Cracker Davis.
Oh. is Johnny on the bass. And he's also on Honeycomb High now on the J. King Network.
Hello, my love, I heard a kiss from you.
We'll be right back. are coming to you uncut, straight, direct, uncensored form. Come on.
My honey, why?
on, senor.
I'm about to catch a train.
I'm gonna leave my eyes open.
eggs in jail. Can't nobody cook it like you, girl. No, ma'am. This here early morning need something else on my plate. Think I want another bite of you, babe.
Breakfast can wait.
Breakfast can wait. You really put it on me. You shut it down last night. I thought the police were gonna come. Loud, yeah, quiet. I ain't trying to make you blush. I just think you're brave. There ain't no need to rush. Breakfast can wait. Smothered in honey.
Wait a minute.
I'm gonna have to pass. Fresh cup of coffee, no, no. I'd rather have you in my glass. Only thing that's gonna sweeten my tongue. Only thing's gonna last now. Another body, you babe. You don't even have to ask.
Finally, my eyes are open.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a high street child, versatile, so many rap styles. Yo, K9, I'm
sweat, I need a child.
I let it be known MCs can't hold their own. But if you got any objections, I roam in the criminal zone. I ain't hard to find, stop looking, listen. Guaranteed I'll be moving MCs like chickens. A plot thickens with no virtue of escape. Digging out lyricists with this lyrical race. Never wore a cape. I gotta say you play a wrecking mic, checking nose and put smoke in the air. Who goes there? No, it's because they can't compete. I'm too dope lyrically over a banging ass beat. Now's the time to retreat, cause you don't get a second chance. After one mic check, I'm turning MCs into fans, mentally stuck in a trance. Like I was hypnosis, and the nigga who can't be seen is the first one to focus. Hocus, hocus, got me twisted, ripping beats. It's the mad dog and clip with the hammer in the seat.
We make beats, with rhythm,
and
with beat. We got it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats, with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We got it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats, with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We got it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats, with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We got it knocking in the club.
Gotta be always prepared to quit, looking out for the set trip, and keep my guards up to the end of the conflict. Can't stop this dominant G, dropping bombs time after time, so my chips could climb. Do or die, might as well bang it to the footers with a fully loaded clip, and I'm itching to pull it out to unload it. Too low, too wide, from the city of the pen, I bet you it's impossible to fade the MVP. Rolling 3D heat, ain't got to hell that gunpoint. I'm worse than the pit about to get it to my opposing opponents. This microphone is dwelling where the shit gets scored. Put it down, so you know the mad dog be the hardest. Caught another one slipping, is a must. We watch tonight, try to survive the deadly porter god. Another sacrifice, suppose you die, better think twice. Only life explains why the zone's nothing on.
I got so much flavor, some seeds wanna bite. So when they can't even phase what I recite with the mic. In the battle, I call critical outcomes. People wanna be MCs, misused and outdone. How could you withstand the number one contender in the center, ready to descend in the portal that enters. My rhymes keep blowing with a roof for it, making fools for riches. As I dominate my whole agenda, remember, I get the lyrical with this lyrical miracle. Live and direct to you on the street level. Many want the favorite rapping phenomenon, but it's impossible. Why? I'm just too phenomenal with an uncommon flow. No matter what the tempo, verbally slaughtering the seeds. It's the kin who lies behind the status, hollering at you in the gangster. Representing the MV with the gang of creativity.
We make beats with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We keep it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We keep it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We keep it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We keep it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
Ford made the car, Mercedes came Benz. Short came first, but the hammer's born open.
Then where's Short?
It's unknown. He's like a dog without a leash. The nigga just roams.
Yo, Hammer, why you coming so hard?
In 96, I'm pulling whole cars. Don't play dumb, you remember mine. 50 million dancers in a big old band. You the sucker and you always will be. Tried to turn the whole town on a Hammer MC.
Why me?
But I stood cause my roots run deep. And you best believe I'm doing the high street. You were safer when I had extra paper. Cause right now, fool, I'm on a whole nother caper.
I get you, man.
And if you want it short, I give you a sample. I'm on another level and I need an example. We make beats, we're driven. We got it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We got it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We got it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We got it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We got it knocking in the club,
as well as the street.
We make beats with rhythm,
and rhythm with beat.
We got it knocking in the club.
Back to 1996 with MC Hammer. He was hooked up with Death Row. Y'all might have missed it, but he mixed rhythms with beats.
You're rolling with the nation's radio station, my radio, KMOB. Once again, you're putting down with the station that always stays down. We keep it real like that, mobbing from coast to coast. Unity in the community, brothers sticking together. I roll with you and you roll with me, and we never roll on each other. Black on black ain't fair. And now it's it's time for my man Hurt 'Em Bad to hit you with the concert calendar. Hurt 'Em Bad, put it down.
Concert update. Stay tuned to KMOV, Mob Radio, the nation's radio station, where we're trying to keep down all the player hatred. Radio. Too tight.
We almost out of here, y'all. Taking you out of here with Hammer. Have a blessed day and the rest of the week. See you on Friday and see you in the morning. Kings in the morning.
Nobody.
This is Wild Wednesday. We out of here.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.